You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Check out our newest course, Essential Campus Pastoring. That's at newchurches.com/campuspastor to learn more about multi-site development, campus pastoring, and the competencies, the universal competencies for campus pastors.
I think session 16 is probably the best one.
Because that's the one you did, right?
I don't know.
I think you're 17.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did 16?
Who did 16? I think it was me.
Oh.
No, it wasn't me.
Who was it?
It wasn't me. It was Ronnie Parrott.
Ronnie Parrott.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And he actually... It really does flow into the question that we're about to answer, but we actually filmed a course on developing a core team that works in campus pastors and church planting.
We couldn't have done that better if we planned it.
No, we did not plan that. Not at all. Not at all. But he did that, and that'll be out soon. So go to newchurches.com/courses to check that out and learn more about it. But today, that is not what we were talking about. Well, it's kind of what we were talking about. But we do want to answer a question first from Cam Abbott, another Canadian. What? What?
Canada, is that what Canadians do?
What? 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 That's what I do. But all Canadians do not say a boot.
A boot.
And I do not say a boot.
Do you say bag? Biggie.
Big?
Baggy.
Baggy?
Big.
I do say pop.
Oh, that's wrong.
Everyone calls it Coke down here.
They do. Everything's Coke.
Yeah,
everything. What kind of Coke you want, Mountain Dew?
Okay, but I know you're a Mountain Dew drinker, although you're drinking Coke Zero right now. Well, you used to drink a lot more Mountain Dew.
I used to drink a lot more
soft drinks. Is that from Tennessee?
Mountain Dew?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Probably not.
I've not seen as many people drink Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper since moving down to Tennessee.
Oh, that's Dr. crazy. Pepper is my favorite. Yeah. It's my go-to.
Yeah.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, me too. I like that.
And I can tell you lots of really strong leaders that drink Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay. Well, Diet Dr. Pepper. This episode is brought to you by
Kevin Beck. I think it's Kevin Beck. Brad Lominick.
Yeah.
A guy named Philip Bethencourt, who is the number two over at ERLC.
Yep.
Lots of people are, are obsessed with Dr. Pepper.
And you forgot the one and only Lizette Beard.
She's obsessed with research. Dr. Pepper as well.
Can't forget her. And we know Lizette's
so
not listening
great
to this,
leaders.
So. Yeah,
great leaders. Lizette Beard.
And Lizette Beard.
All drink that.
And Lizette Beard does have one of the best Twitter accounts out there. So
I don't know if you should draw attention to that.
Be sure to tell her that we mentioned her on this episode.
It's a hot mess of a Twitter account.
It's fun. It's fun. But let's listen into the question from Cam Abbott.
Hey guys, my name is Cam, and I'm training at my home church, the Compass Church in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Compass was a pioneer plant in 2009. In 2015, we planted our second church on the other side of Regina. That planter was trained through the Compass, and we sent him out with a core team of about 20 people that he gathered mostly from within the Compass. Now we're looking to plant in another corner of the city. This time, we're looking to start the church with a more established leadership team and intentionally gather a diverse core team. My question for you is, what is the grid that you would use for building this core team? Thanks, guys. I appreciate any insight they can give into this question.
Right. I would use the ministry grid. I'm just kidding.
Well, that is a good point, though.
It is a good point. We do have a little thing called ministry grid that has not like 4,000 sessions of training for ushers, greeters, parkers, pastors. I mean, there's all kinds of different courses on there. So
yeah, not necessarily.
Check it out.
A lot of our church planting multi-site stuff is more newchurches.com.
Yeah.
But Ministry Grid definitely is that. And for church planters, if you're in your first 2 years, we do give a free annual subscription to that. So you can go to newchurches.com/offer. So yeah. Cam, I mean, yeah. Just send that church planter.
Dude, if you don't know how, you don't know how to do preschool. You don't know how to be a great greeter or usher. So there's an expert there that's telling you, or actually able to train your volunteers mm-hmm. if you want it.
Yeah. So one of the things that I'd say is, and you did a great job with your previous church in terms of sending 20 people out with a planter. I mean, that's fantastic that you guys have done that and that you're planning to do it again. And as you do it, I mean, part of it is learning from your mistakes, learning from what you did and how you did it and talking to that planter and trying to figure out in your local context what worked and what didn't. But one of the best things to do is to recruit members from the sponsor church, from your church, and to give that church planter a license to take people. Right. But the biggest thing is you need to actually prepare your staff. You need to prepare your leaders and your systems for that reality. Because when we send a church plant out from our church back in Edmonton, man, it hurt. It hurt because all our good leaders left.
Well, it's you got to count the cost, right? Oh, yeah. So if it's a section of town, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, it's okay, I'm going to identify the zip codes that are in that section of town are likely to attend that campus. Then I'm going to drop all of the people that attend my church that are in the database. And a healthy way I like to look at it is I'll ask somebody to, hey, anybody who's given a dollar or more in the last year.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll say 2 years, but dollar or more in the last 2 years. I don't want to know how much they gave, but I want to know their address, and then I'm going to sort that and use something like a batch geo to then populate, you know, all the pins on the map of where these people are. Next, I'm going to overlay what those people, how they serve in our church, because I want to know both for the church and the plant that you're planting, you want to know what to expect. So, hey, you know, we're gonna really have to work on building up our preschool ministry because a lot of our preschool leaders are going to be going out to this plant, or we have no preschool workers that live out here. Oh my goodness, we've got to get, you know, somebody shored up really quickly in that specific area of our church. So think about the core areas of your church. And the core essentials of being able to launch that plant, and then, you know, audit and assess the people that you have in your church to go out and be part of that core team.
Yeah, that's huge. And before I elaborate on that a little bit more, part of the thing is when we sent out that church plant and a lot of our core, great, fantastic leaders just, they were so good. They left. When they left, I mean, it was probably 2-3 months, but we were able to replace them, and we were able to raise up a next generation of leaders, and who then after a couple of years became the core leaders of our church. So don't worry about that too much. It will hurt a little bit temporarily at the beginning, but it's worth it in the long run because you're giving more people opportunities to serve.
Absolutely. Nobody's irreplaceable, but I will say, we had that situation and what we learned from it, then we applied moving forward to other campuses where we said, okay, whenever we go to a new campus, this is going to be our new audit so that we budget properly. Yeah. So we know how long it's going to take this campus to be sustainable. So example is looking at those zip codes and looking at the median income versus the current campus, or you keep yourself out of it as much as possible, but hey, based on the people that attend and are going, what can we expect?
Yeah.
You know,
I love the steps that you outlined earlier. One of the things that I'd recommend for every church listening is to do those steps, whether you're planning on planting another church or not. Do the steps and really identify where your congregation lives, in your staff room or online, whatnot, or in a printout, a PDF or whatnot, but share with your staff, share with your leadership, hey, this is where our church lives. This is where they're coming from. And try to do pre-events even before, whether you're planning on sending out a church or not, or maybe in a couple of years you're planning to do that, but try to create, especially if you're a regional church, try to create events where people are learning each other's names in their neighborhood, where they are
They live, work, and play.
Yeah, yeah. Create community where they're at. I mean, I love the quote that you often say, you can't commute to community. And
our mantra.
Yeah, so create those events, right? Create those events even before you are planning on planting a church in that area or before you're planning on starting a campus in that area so that you can already identify and gather those people together. One of the things that Ronnie Parrott says in this developing a core team course that we're getting ready to launch is the whole idea of an application process. We'll provide that application as a handout in this course, as like we do in most of our courses. Well, all of our courses, we have handouts and ready to use resources that accompany it. But in addition to an application, he interviews every single person that applies to be a part of his core team. So in order to do that, you need to be able to cast the vision. You need to be able to identify and know who you're going to approach, right? You can't necessarily, from the stage, ask the senior pastor to announce, hey, anyone who'd like to apply to be a part of this new church that we are going to plant, fill out this application online, right? I mean, that's not going to work as much as an individual, hey, I'm going to have a gathering, or I have community. I know the people who are in this area. I'm going to reach out to them, or I'm going to do a pre-event, not necessarily an application call for everyone in that area so that you can get to know them and reach out and have that personalized message.
And don't forget the power of the personal ask. So
completely.
Get your top 10 list together based on the data you pulled and the people you already know and say, okay, I'm going to have dinner with me, my wife, and this family or this, you know, this person. And I'm going to personally ask them to join us in this venture. We find it all the time where, you know, like I've got friends that, you know, love Pipeline. Mm-hmm. They've been to Pipeline. They've even spoken into Pipeline, you know, in the last couple of years or whatever. And you say, hey, we're having our first event. It's one thing to ask them to do it or just send them an email. But when you ask them personally and you make it, you know, easy for them to say yes, they're much more likely to come. And I'm not saying you soft sell them on what the role is that you're asking them to do voluntarily or otherwise. I am saying make sure you ask the personal ask and be sure that you're clear about where you're going as possible.
Totally. So that you can save yourself heartbreak later. Right. Don't oversell and underdeliver, especially because if you do, they're going to join you for a couple months or help out and they might leave before you actually launch. And then you'll have to find out a way to replace them. So be really clear on your vision.
I will say this. I've been in situations where I didn't have anybody for a campus and I have asked specific leaders to go open for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, you know, restaurants have opening teams. That will, you know, you go to if a Cheddar's, for instance, comes to your town, I guarantee the first month that they open, there's an opening team there.
Yes, totally.
They travel around the country and all they do is open restaurants. Mm-hmm. Because it's making sure they get the best experience, you know, they're basically using those people to train the local staff, the way that you do this. So I've actually said, okay, you know, you're the Sunday night teams person at this campus. We're doing a Sunday morning over here venue. And I need you for the first 6 months to come run this because I don't have anybody here. I've got people that have the potential, but nobody can do it. So I need you to come be on my opening team.
Yeah. And that personal ask, that specific ask with that timeline, I mean, that's not only you. It's not begging someone to do it, but that's actually it's actually a compliment for the person being asked because you are seeing in them that potential. You're giving them that opportunity that you're just not asking. Because when you do the blanket statement, it's like when people sign up, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm a warm body. I'm helping out. But when you go to a person specifically and tell them why you want them to do it, that's You make it personal. Yeah, and you're encouraging them.
You make it personal.
Yeah, it's huge. Such a huge difference in that. So thanks again for listening in. And be sure to check out that course, because we have invested time and resources into developing this because we've seen the need of a curriculum, a scope and sequence to do that. And Ronnie Parrott was able to develop that as a part of his doctoral research, just as Chris Kuba in his doctoral research was doing campus pastoring work, which is why we recruited him for one of our courses as well. So our courses at newchurches.com are research-based. They're practitioner-tested. So be sure to take a look at that and also get your questions in. So thanks again for listening in. And if you haven't yet done so, be sure to review us on iTunes as well. We'll catch you next time.